it is appreciated when I get the opportunity to do that. And it's really appreciated when I've got somebody that I can call on and to fill the pulpit that I have a lot of confidence in is going to accurately handle the word of truth. Because that doesn't happen everywhere, every Sunday in every church. But I've got confidence that Rich will do that for us. For those of you that might not know, Rich is the executive director at the Gospel Rescue Mission, and it's been my privilege to have served as on the board of directors for the last 6 years. I just finished my tenure as a board member of the board. I'm sticking around as the board chaplain, and I guess I'm something of the board historian, because I'm the guy that's got the strongest ties to the past and have been there involved in a lot of the transition and the bringing of Rich, whom I'm so grateful for, as the executive director there. So, Rich, thanks for coming. Come and share God's word with us. Take all the time you want. We don't pay attention to the clock here, so we thank you for coming.
So I have about a three-hour sermon ready for you, so you can enjoy that time. You all heard I got the permission to go on for the rest of the day. If your family is anything like mine, about a month ago or so, you had a great deal of excitement of things happening. Everyone's like, "Oh, well, let's decorate now." And some of you probably said, "Well, we got to wait till after Thanksgiving," and you try to hold them back. Some of you probably didn't wait for Thanksgiving. It's all right if you did. There's no big condemnation there. But everybody's excited. Everybody wants to be part of it. We played Christmas songs. We blasted it as loud as we possibly could as we're decorating, and we had fudge and celebration of doing that. But now that Christmas is over, we're going to be putting it away, and there's not going to be songs playing. All the people who helped decorate are not probably going to be available to pack it all up. Like most families, there'll be probably my wife doing most of the packing away so we can find it again next year. And we're going to put it all away, and we're going to forget what Christmas is really all about. The way it should be launching us into the new year. The way we should be excited about Jesus being part of our everyday lives. When I grew up, Jesus was part of Sunday. That was it. This is the only time we'd ever talk about Jesus. But Jesus needs to be part of our every single moment, our every breath, every part of our lives. So if you have a Bible, which what I know about this church, you are a Bible-believing, Bible-loving church. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to try to work in some report about the Gospel Rescue Mission as we go along, but I think it's important that you hear from God's Word and what God is doing in the lives of men and women. The things that I'm doing, the things that Brad has led us as a board to be able to do, they're nothing without God. He does the work. We just obey, and we're going to look at some of that. So Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When the mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place, that what was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her to be his wife. And he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." The verse I want us to really focus in on is verse 23. "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, when it talks about Joseph and Mary being betrothed, in our modern culture, we have this idea, well, he proposed and that's it. It's a pretty simple thing. He got on a knee. He handed her a ring. She actually said yes, and that was it. But in the time of Joseph, the time of Matthew when he is writing this, the Jewish culture would have had a celebration of this. He would have actually gone to the father and pleaded, can I please marry your daughter? And he would have scratched his head and thought about it. And hopefully, and obviously in this case, said yes. And they would have had a celebration. If you read through some of the history of that era, some of these would go on for weeks. And this isn't even a marriage. This isn't even a wedding yet. This was a celebration. In Joseph's case, it could have been an hour party, a dinner. Now, we don't know the details of that party, but there was a party that was done. And then Joseph would have gone away to go build a home, save up the money, and set up for this. It sounds a little biblical. Jesus coming, establishing, and now he's away building our home, celebrating that. But that's where that idea comes from. But that's what's going on. That's what's the interim of this. This is what the season is. And my guess is, if I'm in Joseph's shoes, I'm not ready to hear from my betrothed that she is with child. This is not part of my expectations. But the first thing I want us to hear and start to put in our lives is that Emmanuel, God with us, is disruptive. He comes into our lives and he shakes things up. Many have taught that it is simple, easy life after Jesus comes in. Tell that to Joseph. Joseph did not have in his plan. He thought, well, I'm going to build this house as quickly as possible. During that party, he may have visited with cousins and uncles and other relatives, say, hey, can you help me get this done quick? I really want to get my family started. He's got vision of boys coming along and helping him in his business. He may have thought about a daughter. Probably not, knowing that culture, knowing most of us men. I could hardly wait to have a son, and I was really excited when that happened. I have one of my sons here, Benjamin, with us today. I love having him here. But my daughter came first, and I loved her just as much. So don't read anything into that. But Joseph would have been excited about having a son someday, preparing all this. But Emmanuel, God with us, was disruptive. It came in and shook things up. So I want us to look at in our lives, first of all, let's look back to the past of God with us. How did God disrupt our past? Now, I once walked with the enemy. I proudly lived in rebellion against Jesus Christ. And I deliberately lived in opposition to him, as hard as that might be for some to believe. But Jesus disrupted my life. He came in and said, this life that you've been living, it's not going to suit you well. It is not what I have in mind for you. It is not what I have prepared for you. But Emmanuel, God with us, stepped into my life. And I think it is important that we start to look at, where was God in my past? Where did God disrupt my life? And I've done this on a regular basis. I investigate my past. And it's easy to look at those good times and say, well, God bless me. Look at that. He gave me a great wife. He gave me healthy children. He brought my daughter. She had moved to North Carolina. She moved back to Oklahoma. That is a blessing. And I love to look at God doing that. But I also believe it's important to look at those hard times. And maybe even more important to look at those difficult times. Because, you know, God is just as much with us then as he is in those good times. And something that's even more scary to think about is he was with me when I was living in sin, proud of defying him. He was still with me. Remember, the scriptures teach that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was still Emmanuel, just as much in that sinful season of my life as he is in any other time. He was right there. Just to give you one illustration of walking back in the back and saying, well, God, where were you in this situation? Is that I had begun to chase after God. I got in this hunger. I got this excitement. I remember this excitement of going to church. I couldn't figure out why I was so excited. Every Friday and Saturday, I started getting excited. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. But eventually, I figured out, I'm excited about going to church. What is wrong with me? Something is not quite right in my head that this is my excitement for the week. But I still wasn't saved, but I was excited about church, and I'm going every week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek, and this is unbelievable. If a work schedule might keep me from one of those three, but I was going to at least one of those three, usually two out of three at the very least. And I get into this massive car accident. I had a Ford Festiva that's the size of about this podium here, if you've ever seen one of those cars, and I hit a pickup truck, full-size pickup truck, head-on. And so I said to God, I said, I was already moving in that direction. You didn't need to have me in this car accident to get me saved. I was on track. Maybe it would have taken a couple extra weeks. I mean, obviously, right after that accident, I gave my heart to the Lord. I wasn't delaying. And so I come to him and say, God, where were you in that? I read Emmanuel, God with us. Where were you when I was in pain? And the pain I remember the most, I don't actually remember the pain of the collision. But I do remember the pain in the emergency room when they needed to reposition my shoulder that had broken my collarbone. And they repositioned my shoulder to get a better x-ray. I remember that pain. I remember crying like you would not believe. It was so intense. Emergency room people. But I remember that. I said, well, what was going on? And I said, well, I was going to get saved. And I remember very clearly hearing from Jesus saying, Rich, you are stiff-necked. You are stubborn, and the truth is you would not have given your heart to the Lord that Sunday or for many Sundays afterwards or many days afterwards. You needed that car accident to open your eyes and say, I cannot put this off. You are, Rich, where you're at right now because I allowed that pain in that moment. And I want you to know, Rich, that I was hurting with you. I was crying there with you. I felt the pain when they pulled your arm back to get that better x-ray. I felt every moment of that. God with us. And when I reflect back, in the present, I get this joy of my salvation back. See, for many of us, we're putting away those Christmas things. We're putting them away. We're forgetting Emmanuel, God with us. We're putting that aside, and we get kind of lax in our walk with God. But when I reflect back, he was with me in that difficult situation. And when I reflect back that he has been with me with multiple difficult situations, I can look back and say, oh, but you were with me in that. My joy of my salvation, as David prays out in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of my salvation. David lost that joy. What makes me any different? I plead, let me be excited again about going to church like I was back then. Make me excited about serving you, Jesus. Get me excited about hearing your word rather than just being a chore of getting up and reading his word in the morning. I want it to be so excited I can hardly wait that I pop out of bed and say, whoa, what do you got for me today? But that only happens when I reflect back on Emmanuel, God with us in the past. Many times he has washed out. But then I come back to God with us in the present. Now, I'm going to confess to you, this is one of those times I might step on some toes. I might be meddling with some of you with it when I come to this. But how many of you really believe God is with us all the time? Do you really believe in Emmanuel, God with us? Because I really believe if we really believe Emmanuel, God with us, we would not say some of the things we say. I really believe that if we really believed Emmanuel, God with us, we would not do some of the things we do. Because he's right there with us, walking with us, and he is maybe embarrassed by some of the things we do. Maybe a little ashamed by some of the thoughts that we have. What would you do if you were fully aware? What would you not do if you were fully aware of Emmanuel, God with us? I hope, and it's my prayer, that like Joseph, that when we realize he is there, we will be obedient. There's not a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot on Joseph. But what we do have is that he obeyed every single time. And when I recognize that God is with me, I am determined. I am going to obey your next step. And just like Joseph, sometimes my next step may not be so comfortable. My next step might be dirty. It might be scary. It might be frightening. It might be service of some kind that I'm not comfortable doing. But God is with us. And in the present, you might be in the midst of a difficult situation. There might be loved ones who are close by, who are sick, not doing well. You may have loved ones who are in rebellion against Christ. You may be tempted, but when I recognize, and hopefully when you recognize, that Emmanuel, God, is with us, you will choose to obey. He might have you have a difficult conversation. Now, the men and women we serve at the Gospel Rescue Mission, they come in, and this is who I want them to know. I want them to know that God is present. I want them to know Emmanuel, God with us. Because they have all been through difficult situations. No one comes to the Gospel Rescue Mission because they have a perfect life. Because things are going really, really well for them. Oh, I think I'll just take a vacation to check into the mission. You will never see that. There's a few that will try to explain that to us until we get into detail with them. And on January 14th, and if you want to learn more about our upgrade and what we're doing at the mission, we're going to have a press conference, for lack of a better term. We're having a celebration launching the upgrade to our program. But the key part that you can get right now for free without having to go to that or watch it live on Facebook is that we want to get to know these men and women. What has God already been doing in your lives? Up to this point, they were just a number. They were just a name. You know, we have so many staying here. We had 33,000 meals that we served last year. A lot because of your help, your support, whether it was financial, some of you individuals, as families, as a church showing up and serving out a meal. All those are great numbers. But when I get to know them, I can share, well, God was with you to get you here today. At the mission I was at before I came to Muskogee, we had a young lady who was contemplating suicide. Her name was Lisa, just this beautiful young lady. And it turns out that she was on the wrong road. There's a bridge on a road that was just a few blocks away to jump into a very freezing cold river that would have taken her life if she would have been on the correct road. But because she was on the wrong road, it was right where the shelter happened to be. So as she comes in, she's like, how did I get here? And for a lot of the men and women who show up at the mission, that's exactly what happened. It was something they just, God orchestrated it. He was with them. He moved her over one block. And I shudder to think of what would have happened if she would have been one block over. I probably wouldn't have even known Lisa's name. One block. God with her got her to the mission. Eventually, she ended up on my staff. God did some great things in her life. But as you come and feed, I want you to know that your investment in the mission, I consider it an investment, not a donation. What if we feed those 33,000? They have a full belly, but they don't know Jesus at the end. Those 33,000 get fed physically. You know, I don't want to fill up their belly so they can enjoy, or not enjoy, experience a lifetime in hell. I want them to experience the joy that comes from a lifetime of walking with Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. I want that so badly for all 33,000 meals, whoever those individuals might be, to get to know that. And then we have our shelter programs that we do. And they come in, and the stability and the structure and the protection of a roof over your head, knowing someplace to leave your belongings, a place to have fellowship, a warm blanket, a pillow. You wouldn't believe how big of a deal a pillow is. I don't know how much a pillow costs, $10, $5, $10. But for some of these men and women, it's like giving them a pot of gold. It's the most exciting thing. I have a pillow to sleep on, my own bed, that somebody's not going to come wake me up off the couch or off the street. But if I give them the shelter, if we provide all that for them and they don't learn Emmanuel, God with us, we failed. Somewhere along the line, we have to get to know who they are and say, well, this is who Jesus is in your life. This is how he has spoken to you. This is how he has acted in your life before. And we want you to get to this place where you experience that all the time. Because it was that experiencing God with me is what got me to know him in the first place. I knew of him. I had heard of him. but for them when they get the shelter. Our men and women show up and sometimes in some pretty shabby clothing. There's a gentleman who's there right now named Richard. I can always remember his name. It's my easiest one to remember. But he showed up. They had released him from the hospital in a hospital gown without shoes. And when I pulled into the parking lot, he was sitting across the street. At 7:30, 7:45 in the morning, he was without shoes. And I had to go in and get him shoes because I didn't want him to cross the street until he had some shoes on his feet. But what if I clothe Richard and we don't tell him about Emmanuel, God with us? Yes, it was loving and caring to give him those things and put clothes on him. That hospital gown did not cover him in an appropriate way. We had to find clothing for him that was going to keep him warm and safe. And again, your support has enabled these things to happen. And your support also encourages me and reminds me, because I know the heart of your pastor, I know the heart of your church is, don't just give him clothes. Don't just say hi and not even worry about their name. I got to sit down with Richard while he was there and said, Richard, what's going on? He didn't even know how he got to where he was. He had been medicated at the hospital and they just kind of dumped him on us. But we clothed him, gave him some nice clothes. And then we told him about Emmanuel, God with us. We could help him get jobs. We could help with their financial help. All those things are beautiful and they're important in the present. But they mean nothing if we don't teach them about Emmanuel, God with us. And when I visit with them, when I talk with them, I don't always know what to say. I mean, what do you say to someone who has just lost their entire family? Someone who has just lost their loved one or they're in a divorce situation or an abusive situation? What do you say? I don't know what to say. But I know who does know what to say. Let me tell you about Emmanuel. He was with you in that situation. And he's going to help us figure out what to say and do in these situations. That's Emmanuel in the present. But before we put away the manger scenes, we put away the pictures that we have of the nativity and all those things that took place over Christmas, I think we got to look at the bigger picture. Because even this Emmanuel that I know right now, that I love so desperately, is nothing compared to the experience I'm going to have one of these days of Emmanuel, God with us in the future. You know, there's been times where I pray, Jesus, come now, because I want an escape from some difficult situation. There are times before some meetings I think, boy, it would be really nice if you came back so I don't have to go into this meeting. Or I have to have this conversation with my children. Can you just come back first so I don't have to? But that's not what I'm talking about. I don't want him to come back as an escape. I want him to come back because he's the most beautiful person in the world. He rescued my very soul. He rescued my physical being. He rescued everything about me. How would we live our lives if we really believed he's coming back? If we really believe that even this foretaste that we have of him right now was just like a dealer's first taste of a drug. Or when we were young, we were in Germany and we went to this fair, like a craft fair, and they had this guy, he gave me this little block of cheese for free. This is Parmesan cheese. And I ate that little piece of cheese. I was almost saying no, because I just wasn't in the mood for some cheese. But I ate this, and the rest of the day, all I could think about was this Parmesan cheese. And I'm looking at all these other booths, and I could care less about all these other booths. And I kept thinking, I need to go back. We actually went home, and I'm still thinking about that cheese. Eventually, I waited for my daughter to take a nap. She was 2 years old. Say, you go sleep. I'm going to go back and get me some of this cheese. Well, shouldn't that be like Jesus, that we got this little taste of him, and that our every thought, our every action is saying, oh, I need more. I'm desperate for more of him. I desire to to have a full taste. That little block is nothing. As wonderful as that little block was, I want him to be like an addiction in my life that I can't turn away. I have to see more of him. That challenges me every single moment to see him in some, as Mother Teresa would have said, in unholy disguise. These men and women come in and they're dirty, nasty, smelly. Sometimes they're crude, violent, saying these things. Can I see Jesus in them? Because he's right there with them. He wants them. He wouldn't have shown up in front of me if they hadn't. But Emmanuel, God with me, says he wants them. But he also looks at me and says, Rich, I want you. I want more of you. My fear is that if I don't, then I put away the nativity. And I've forgotten more about him than I ever would have discovered in the first place. But Revelation 3:16, you might be familiar with these letters. What do I want him to say when I'm in his presence? When I finally get that full taste of who he is, am I going to hear him say this? So because you are lukewarm, are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'm afraid to say that for most of us in the church, that might be what he might have to say. Because we've gotten comfortable. We put away the nativity. We put him aside until next Christmas. And about Thanksgiving time, everybody's going to be pleading again. Let's have more of that again. Give me that little taste of that Parmesan cheese. Are we going to spit him out? Are we going to be spit out? Because we put him aside. So my challenge us this Sunday, and for every day, is that you would wake up and say, God, I am not going to take you for granted. I'm going to investigate my salvation. Not to say if I'm saved or not. It's saying, I want to make this sure. I want this fire to be inside of me. I'm going to kindle this inside of me. I'm going to experience Emmanuel, God, with me today. Every single moment I possibly can. And when I step into those uncomfortable situations, I'm going to trust that Emmanuel, God with me, is going to help me with those right words. That when I step into these places where temptation comes up, and I have yet to meet a man of God who has not run into temptation, that I could say, Emmanuel, God with me, how do I get out? Because he promises there is no temptation without a way out. So, okay, Jesus, where's my way out of this one? I'm feeling, you know I'm feeling this one. Help divert my eyes. Help me divert my heart. Help me divert my thoughts. Push me so I can get free of this temptation. And he will be faithful to do that. Help me to see you in those crazy places. Help me to see you in these difficult, challenging situations. Help me to somehow see you in these lives, these men and women that I come in contact with. And one of the things I challenge our men and women at the mission is watch out who you hang out with. Then I hang out with them. But we do got to watch out who we hang out with. But if I'm going to hang out with them, I got to be able to see Emmanuel with them. And hopefully you're going to see Emmanuel with those that you hang out with from this church. Hopefully you'll see Emmanuel, God, with you with those who are in your family, in your homes, that you'll eat lunch with today and eat dinner with in the weeks and days to come. And if he's not obvious there, because he's there anyway, if he's not transparent where you can see him clearly, you reveal him. You expose him. Hey, everybody, look, here he is. Let me tell you about him in my life. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, over the next couple weeks, you will be packing up those boxes. Hopefully you'll put it in a way that you can find everything when you turn around next year and it's all in the right places and nothing gets broken. But I pray you won't put away this heartfelt thought. Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us. It's not about those presents. It's not about what you got or didn't get. It's not about what families said or didn't say during their visits. It's about Emmanuel. Live your life remembering where he was in the past with you. So that way when you're having the difficult times in the present, you can remember that. But more importantly, really, I pray that today, as you even as you're putting away those boxes, it's an unpraised task. Nobody's saying great job putting away those decorations. You did that so well. But you're gonna, as you're putting it away, you're going to say, Jesus, let me not put you away. As I put this representation of you, this baby in a manger, as I put that away, let it not be you for real. Let it be just a statue, just a decoration. But you be alive and real in my day and in my life. So Jesus, I do pray that for each man and woman here today. That you would be very real in their past, their present, and their future. I pray for the men and women who come into the Gospel Rescue Mission, whether it's just there for a meal, there for a shelter, there for financial help, whatever they're there for, that they would experience you. And Jesus, if there's anybody here today who has lost the joy of their salvation, I pray that today would be the day you restore that. They would remember. They would remember that first Christmas after knowing you, what that was like. And they would be filled with joy and expectation. Jesus, we ask for all this in your name. Amen. Amen.